Good morning, everybody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Papa, Papi, Pastor, the fiery communion message. You nearly preached all the messages that I prepared. You were going that way, and I believe that's the Holy Spirit. But I never timed him. I don't time anybody. I believe the Holy Spirit speaks, and if the Holy Spirit wants to speak, then let him speak. Right? Take your watches. Take them out. Your phones, turn them off. Don't worry about time. You're here to receive from the Lord. You're here to worship and praise Him together. That's one Sunday in your life. One day in your life, you come to be together. Hallelujah. Utilize that. You come to worship your God. Reverence your God. Worship Him in truth and in spirit. You give all this glory and honor to your president and your prime minister and the queen and Ketsi and do all this bowing. And your God, the Bible says, is the King of all kings. Amen? You should give Him the same, but more reverent and respect than we give to human kings and rulers. Hallelujah. When you operate in this kind of principle, that's a king, you will be a mighty woman and man of God in His kingdom. Hallelujah. Father, I want to say thank you. I thank you. We thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your Holy Ghost, the great counselor, the great teacher, is always with us, teaching us your word, encouraging us, guiding us, O Lord. Father, at times when we can speak, He speaks through us by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that you've given us every opportunity, every word that you have given us. Lord, the instructions that you have given us in this book, that, Lord, we call the Bible. It is the constitution of our country, the country of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, which we are amazing citizens of. Father, we live in this earth, two worlds and one earth, O God. We live and serve in a kingdom that is so real, that kingdom that created the earth that we live on right now. Father God, you have given us authority, Lord, in everything. Lord, you didn't tell anybody else to rule the world, but you gave it to a man you created in your likeness, in your image. And you said, have dominion over this earth, O God. Father, I thank you that we are today. We are the offspring, hallelujah, of the image of God that was created, hallelujah. We are God material, created by everything that you are. All your attributes, Father God, that is in us. And Lord, that's why you said, be holy, like my Father in heaven, who is holy. Being one with our word, righteousness and holiness, Father God. Lord, I thank you, as I always pray. Hide me that your people will hear your voice only. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be able to share and be able to release your word, O God. What you have placed in our hearts, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Yeshua's mighty name, I pray. Everybody said, amen, hallelujah. I want you to wave to somebody and shake somebody's hand and say, hello, turn around, say to your neighbor, hey, how are you? The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Sing about His goodness. He is good and His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Powerful. Let's take all catchy cliches out of our saying and bring the word of God into everything that we say. That's good. Good to see people hugging and blessing each other and saying hello to each other. This is family. Look around you. Look around you. This is your family. The world is not your family. This is your family. Hallelujah. Look at these wonderful, wonderful faces that are inside here today. It's different cultures and different languages and different skin color, and the pigmentation of your skin is different, but you are connected by the blood of Yeshua. Hallelujah. I've been talking about principles a lot in this church. And if you've been coming to our church, you will understand that it is the principles that take us through life. Nothing changes, and the only two things that doesn't change is God and His word. Amen? It's the only two things that we can stand on that doesn't change. And this morning, I just wanted to start this message by bringing you some encouragement to lay the foundation. God is speaking, and His interest is about the spiritual condition of His church. Amen? You've heard me say a lot about this. The reason why I'm bringing this is because I've been talking to our music team about the invitations that we've been going to get from other churches. Oh, by the way, watching those who are watching on live stream, good morning. I forgot to welcome them. Hallelujah. If you're watching from all over Brisbane and down south and all over Cairns or out in PNG, we welcome you this morning. Hallelujah. God is more concerned about the condition of His church than anything else. When we start something, we must endeavor to complete with the spirit of excellence. One of the things that is coming stronger to me is that we are starting to get invitations out to build unity in other churches. My platform is this. I don't know what other pastors preach to their church, but I know what I preach to my church, which is God's church right here, is the principles. And when you deal with things that are to clean up His church, it is the only thing that God requires right now. Nothing else will truly bring the true church of Jesus Christ in unless everything has been taken out and we become the people that walk in righteousness and holiness. And I'm concerned about this because a lot of people are watching us to fail. There's many people watching us to succeed, and there are many people watching us to fail. I say more people are watching us to fail than anybody that's watching us to succeed. Amen? Your life must speak more louder than what you say. Your life and your actions has to be more outward than what you say. People say words is cheap. I agree with that. Your words are cheap until we see the true fruits of the Spirit in your life. Amen? That means God is going to give us the grace to accomplish all these plans. What I'm talking about to my team and our team, our ministry team, is this, that whatever anointing that is upon you is not the same. Because we have taken, like Pastor Puppy said, we have taken all that we know, left it at the altar, and asked the Holy Ghost to lead us. The Holy Spirit is the only one that will lead His church. And so we must always come back to what the original blueprint of what the church is all about. And when we do that, our plans and purpose will be also accomplished. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He added righteousness in everything you say. Because without righteousness, you can't have the goodness of God. Hello, somebody. We can stand here and sing about the goodness of God. But if we don't have the righteousness, then it's worthless. God doesn't listen to your prayers. God doesn't listen to your worship when you come with something that doesn't belong to Him. Amen? Isn't it straight enough for you? The Bible says if you come to bring your offer to the altar and you remember that somebody has something against you, not you have something against somebody. I love the kingdom principles. Jesus always sets the standard higher than what you and I have so come to believe. He says, not you having something against somebody, it's somebody having something against you. He says, if you remember that, leave your offering at the altar, go and reconcile with that person that has something against you, then come back and offer your sacrifices, and I will hear your prayers. I will listen to you. Hallelujah. God is a God of righteousness. God doesn't muck around with sin, play around with sin. God is too righteous to be close to that stuff. Hallelujah. We must understand the spiritual growth in the church and the season that we are living in right now and moving forward. I always say, interpret what's happening around the world with the Word of God, not with your emotions, not what has happened in the past. No, the season for today is new. Tomorrow is God's, today is yours. That's why you interpret it according to what He says and what He promised, not what the world tells you. The world tells you nothing that is true. The Word of God is a promise that doesn't change. The principles of the Word of God doesn't change. That's why we must understand the spiritual growth. Gauge and measure the spiritual growth of the church, not on how many people is attending the church, but on how many truly righteous people. Let me just explain this. Righteousness, people think, I said to the team, people may look at you and go, oh, you think you're holy? Yes, I am holy. Yes. You know what holiness means? Holiness means that whatever I say is what I do. If you can say that with all confidence, like Paul. Paul says, imitate me, for I imitate Christ. If we can say that, then we can stand with all confidence and say, yes, I am holy. Yes, I am righteous. Why? Because what I say is what goes. Just like God, just like the Father God, His attributes is inside of me. All His giftings is inside of me. When He created me, He placed it there, all the gifts. Everybody sitting in this room was not born with no gift. Every one of you has a gift. Hallelujah. That's why Paul says, stir it up. Stir those gifts inside of you up, because without those things, then people cannot recognize you, that you're the true follower of Jesus. Hallelujah. Use the yardstick of God to gauge the spiritual things. That is how many people are truly walking in the place of righteousness. God wants true sons, true daughters. Not a congregation mindset. A congregation belongs to religion. You and I are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We must remember the rights are rights when we pray. We must remember what God tells us about His promise. We must stand on everything that He says because we are sons and daughters. I say, take ownership of this church. This is not just a fellowship group where you come and fellowship. Take ownership of this church because it belongs to you. And you are a son and a daughter and not a congregation. A congregation will go around the desert for 40 years. Mindset change people will cross over and take on what belongs to them. Hallelujah. Use the yardstick. God wants true sons and daughters, those that are born in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. I said before, the church is full of adopted sons and daughters. Those who know God by name. God doesn't want you to know Him by name. He wants you to know Him by relationship, by what you have with Him. Not by you claiming that you know God. God wants you to know Him by the Spirit. Born again, not by name only, but by the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's those who are sons and daughters of God. That's those who will take on something that God says and move with it. There's too many congregation mindsets already in churches. There's enough of that. Here, I want people that will say, I have been renewed by the transformation of my mind, by the Word of God. I am now a renewed mindset. I have shifted from just being a congregation mindset to a son and a daughter who understands God's principles. Hallelujah. I said before, the church is full of them. You must not claim God by name only. John chapter 1, verse 13 says, you were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That means you are God material. Everything about you has God in it. Every DNA that you have belongs to God. Your body was created like no other body to carry God. Hallelujah. God created you to carry Him. You are the only species that can carry this. One body created like no other body. That's why you don't fear all this pandemic and all this stuff that comes against you. Hallelujah. You got to start having a mindset change and speak words of faith into situations that we're in. Hallelujah. Don't just know God. Have a relationship with Him by committing your life to Him. We have a lot of work to do. We've prayed for workers, and workers are coming in. Workers that are gifted in the things that God has already prepared them. They're here. Bible says, pray for workers, not the harvest. The harvest has been ready since Jesus died on the cross. The day Christ died on the cross, the harvest was ready. Everyone's life, everyone's soul was paid for on the cross. Jesus said, just pray for workers. Bring them in. Jeremiah 1:10 says, see, I have this day set you over nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, and to build, and to plant. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, working for the Lord. Hallelujah. Not for human masters. Honest hardworking is something God, or honest hardworking work is something God seeks from you and I. Tells us that working hard with faith in mind can lead to great things as we plan forward the church. Hallelujah. Jesus saw something in these 12 men. Normal, insignificant men like you and I. All of them already had skills and gifts in different areas of life. And all of them untrained in theology. Hallelujah. Jesus needed a man who have not been brainwashed by religion, because he wanted them to capture or get the kingdom that he was actually talking about. Jesus didn't bring religion into the world. He was looking for those who would believe his message of the kingdom. He introduced the kingdom to this group of men and totally changed their mindset altogether. Hallelujah. These 12 men, when they understood the kingdom, no persecution, no devil, no demon, they even chose how they're going to die. Hallelujah. Peter says, I am not worthy to be hung on the cross like you, Christ. I will be hanging upside down. When they discovered that kingdom, nothing could stop them. Hallelujah. You and I are the fruits of that passion that those 12 men had. All of them. A common denominator that those men possessed was this. They loved Jesus. And they believed in him. Two things. They loved him and they believed in him. And they obeyed him and submit to his leadership. And they stayed with him after many others have stopped following him. And the Lord himself warned us about the great falling away. He wasn't talking about the world. And I, those who confess to follow Christ, there is a great falling away that's going to happen. And it starts in your heart. Hallelujah. You cannot isolate yourself from fellowship. You cannot isolate yourself from having fellowship with each other. Why? The season that you and I are in needs you to be fellowshipping together. Needs you to be coming to church every day, every Sunday. Hallelujah. Yes, it is easy to stop following Jesus. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 to 13 says, and because lawlessness will abound and love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. They stayed with him. They understood the kingdom. Hallelujah. That was the Lord speaking to the church, not to the world. So I am not interested in how good people preach or how good you look. Hallelujah. I'm not interested in how many words of God you know. I am interested in the fruits that is inside of you. I am interested in the fruits of the Spirit, because it will bring the integrity of this church to the world. We must protect what God is doing in this church, whatever the Holy Ghost is doing. I'm interested in the fruits of the Spirit in you. I'm interested in your character and your integrity. I'm interested in how long you can run this marathon, because many will fall away. Those who profess to know Christ, those you know that have been on fire for God, they will fall away. Bible tells me that. They will fall away. And we're watching who's going to fall away in this church. I pray that none of you will fall away from following God. Hallelujah. I keep praying for this church and I keep praying for the families of this church that we should not fall away. Whatever comes our way, we stand just like the principles of Jehoshaphat for prayer meetings. That's why prayer. I haven't stopped talking about prayer for the last 6 or 5 Sundays now. And part of this message is really about the principles of prayer as well. Hallelujah. God is interested in those who will stand in integrity and run this marathon. Because there's too many professional people like to start things, but they always quit halfway through and they become professionals at it. Hallelujah. I'm saying, who's got my back in this race? Who's got my back with this marathon? Who's going to stand with me and say, Pastor, I'm with you. You speak, I stand with you. Hallelujah. Because it will come a day when you and I have to speak. And the line has already been drawn in the sand. There is no turning back now. These disciples, then they discovered the Holy Ghost. They said, this promise that Jesus promised us, this counselor that is going to come, I'm just paraphrasing now. He says, this thing's got to work. Otherwise, we are in big trouble. Hallelujah. And they proved that it worked. The kingdom principles worked. Hallelujah. So, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he gave them a blueprint, a guideline, and the principles of prayer. And we must take this in the context of the kingdom. I pray you take it into context of the kingdom, not a religion, please. If you get it into religion context, you'll be confused and you'll read everything out of context and believe everything out of context. Because Jesus never brought a religion. He brought a kingdom. And he gave us the principles of prayer. Hallelujah. When they asked him to pray, he says, they said, teach us to pray. Not how to pray, because the Jews know how to pray. All their life, when they grew up, they know how to pray. They have a ritual that they follow through as prayer. But this one particular question they asked Jesus, teach us to pray. This thing that you do every 3 o'clock in the morning when you go and speak to the Father yourself, teach us that. Not how you walk on water, not how you took the demons out of this person, not how you calmed the storm. They didn't ask for any of that. They said, teach us the principles. If you get the principles, you'll be able to calm storms. You'll be able to take demons out of people. Pray for the healed and they'll get sick according to the principles, standards of the kingdom. We must take this context of the kingdom and not make it a religious act, because prayer is a religious act. Prayer is your right as the kingdom citizen to go to the Father. Hallelujah. When the disciples asked him that, the Hebrew word for prayer is what? Petition. Very simple. We call it prayer. It's a religious word. But petition is what God wants you and I to do. It's petition him of what he has already promised us. We must take this and understand this. The Bible in your hand is called a testament. A new and whole testament. Testament is a legal word. Not a religious word. This book is not a religious book. It is not a devotional book. This has the principles and has the guidelines of your life and my life. I said last week, education is for you to go and get a job and understand life skills. But this teaches you how to live life. It teaches to guide you to live the kingdom standards and the kingdom principles that Jesus. Hallelujah. The testament has got nothing to do with religion. And lawyers who study law, if you're a lawyer today, you will tell me the truth. You know what I'm talking about. Is a legal word. Hallelujah. The Bible is a legal document. In courts of law, you argue the case based on a legal document. So when you stand before God in the courts, hallelujah, you go to God with what he gave you. I cannot stop talking about this more and more and more, because that will be changing your life forever. You will not be a religious person afraid of anything, because you know and understand your rights as the citizen of the kingdom that you are, belong to. Hallelujah. The Bible is a legal document. And when you stand before the courts of God, God, based on his legal document, you will say, God, based on this legal document, I want what belongs to me, according to what you said that belongs to me. Hallelujah. You don't go to God crying and weeping. This is what James said. You pray and ask and you never receive, because you ask amiss. You're using the wrong. You have the template. The template as a religious prayer to God. The Lord's prayer is a religious prayer to God. God says, bring. I have given you the template of prayer. Now bring your hearts. Bring what I have asked you to do in this template that I've given you. You open doors in where you are when you apply the principles that are based on what he is teaching us. And I qualify as a law-abiding citizen, so I have the right, hallelujah, justice and righteousness to demand what legal documents promised me. That's called petitioning. We call it prayer. When we petition with law, principles, because it gets prayers answered. God doesn't operate on something else except his word. He said, you have had rights. Watch over my word to fulfill it. Not I will watch over your word or somebody else's word or some women's magazine or some National Geographic magazine. All these documentaries. He said, based on what I told you, I will watch over it to fulfill it. It's hard to teach kingdom, because the kingdom puts law back into its rightful place. Hello, somebody. And we hate law because we love grace. Hello, somebody. You know, when I started preaching in his church about law and about righteousness and holiness and sin, people left the church. Aha. People don't like to hear these kind of things. Oh, we are under grace. We are under grace. Hallelujah. Well, listen carefully. It's hard to teach kingdom because the kingdom puts law back in its rightful place. And we hate it because it talks about law and not grace. Somehow we've developed a religion that hates law and lives on grace. Jesus told a story about the widow that went to petition the judge. I shared it last week. Hallelujah. You heard about that one? And I spoke on that. And if you read, the judge did not give her anything because she was a widow or because she was poor. The judge gave her something because she kept pounding there with her rights. She says, I know my rights. I know what God has promised me. I'm here to get what is rightfully mine. Hallelujah. God, you promised that by your stripes I am healed. Isaiah 53:5. You said it, hallelujah. And Isaiah saw it. God, you promised that. And I will stand on that. And I will come knocking at your door until I get what is rightfully mine. Hallelujah. You don't go begging to God. You go with your rights to God. You go with what he's already given you. Hallelujah. She didn't get what she deserved because she was a widow or she was poor. She stood on the right. She knew that she deserves this because God said it. Hallelujah. The Bible says she came to the judge because she knew her rights. Rights come from law. It does not come from grace. Hello, somebody. Come on. You got to say hello to this. Say hello to this and say amen to that. We got to get away from this thing called grace for a while. Because it has destroyed a lot of churches. And destroyed a lot of Christians who walk in churches. We got to come back. Hallelujah. What grace does is it puts you in a position so that you can obey the law. That's what grace does. It brings you back into the position where you start to obey the word of God. The unconditional love of God is for those who do not know Christ. You and I, when we're out in the world, is unconditional love. He loved us yet when we were sinners to bring us into the kingdom. And when you're inside the kingdom, the unconditional love stopped. Now everything is depending on the condition. Because the kingdom standard is higher than religious standard. Jesus said, you have heard that you should not commit adultery. And then he says, but I say, hallelujah. I say that even if you just look, understand it. It's different. He lifts the game higher because he knows you can do it. Why? You have the Holy Ghost living inside of you. You have the counselor that living. He calls it the counselor. It's a lawyer word again. You have that helper that is in there to help you to go away from being a sinful person. That's what Jesus said to the woman that was caught in adultery. Go and sin no more. When you stand before a judge, and you come before a judge, and judge says, you know what? You look like a really nice person, and I'm just going to cancel this case right now. And you jumping up and I'm going, hallelujah, I am free. But before you jump out of court, he goes, hang on a minute, come back here. No, the judge will tell you, go and obey the law. I don't want to see you back inside the court. Hello, somebody. If you haven't been in a court case, you will have gone through that. That's what I've forgiven you, not for you to go and live in sin. Go and live according to the laws, the principles that I've already given you. Don't use grace as license to continue to break the law. Hallelujah. This is so important for us to understand, and we must understand it now. Hallelujah. Somehow we think, oh, we're in grace. Somehow we've developed a religion that hates law and lives on grace. And then we leave and plant sin under grace. See, under grace, you can plant sin and live in sin because you know you're going to get forgiven. That's grace for you. But Jesus said, go and sin no more. I have forgiven you. Go and obey what I have asked you to do. The Bible says she came to the judge because she knew rights from law. It doesn't come from grace. What grace does is it puts you back into position so that you can obey the law. In not get away. He took the offense away from you, and he says, I am going to let you go. That's grace. That's mercy. You run out the court saying, hallelujah. But he says, come back here. I don't want to see you in this court anymore. This is what God is talking to you and I. You understand grace. Grace brings you into the kingdom to be able to apply the principles of the Word of God and see it manifested powerfully in our lives. We cannot live under grace and live in sin and come in before God and ask for something. Pastor Papi said, the goodness of God, the goodness of God, the goodness of God, and yet you live in sin. Hallelujah. God doesn't tolerate this kind of stuff. But then he says, before you go, I want to caution you. What is he saying? He's saying, go out and obey the law again. Don't forget the law. So grace is given for you and I to keep law, not to destroy. Said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, do not think that I have come to abolish the law. I have not come to abolish them, but to what? Fulfill them. Jesus brought the spirit of the word. Hallelujah. For heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands, hallelujah, and teaches others to do accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of God. It says, practice and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of God. God cannot deal with lawless people. Lawless people are useless to God. Hello, somebody. People who walk in lawlessness are useless to God. God can't use you. God can't do anything with you because you represent Him. And God is not silly to allow you that like to live under grace and sin Him. That's why I'm saying to the team, I don't know what is happening out there in the churches, but here in this church, holiness and righteousness, because that only that will reveal the power of the Word of God and the true church of Jesus. Just that He said, I will build my church based on the revelation that I am Christ, the Son of the living God, and no gates of hell shall prevail against that. Hallelujah. God cannot deal with lawless people. But we love grace because it allows us to break the law. People are using grace to plan their sin. Hello, somebody. You know what? I used to do that. I'm not preaching somebody else's story. I used to do that. Plan my sin under grace. You can sit there and be so holy before me today. That's fine. But I'm putting myself as an example to what God is saying. And the moment I shifted, something started to break inside my life. God says, even before you can set foot on this place and preach the word of God, go and kill all the giants that are supposed to be killed. Destroy it and then come and speak. People will receive the streams and the waters of life. Hallelujah. That's why I don't worry about titles of pastors and all that. Speak truth. God is going to use you. God doesn't need a title to put on you to go and speak truth to anybody. God will use you just as you are. If you got a voice, a tongue to pronounce all the syllables, hallelujah. If you're even dumb and can speak, God can still use you. Hey! Use a donkey to speak, he can turn you into something else and you can speak. You got to understand, those stories in the Bible are not just some nice stories that you read in the Bible. These are powerful testimonies. That's why it's in a book called Testament. It's a testament of what God can do. All the miracles in this Bible, the power and the manifestation that happens here can happen only those who walk in holiness and righteousness, only with pure hands and clean hearts will see God. We will see God true and powerfully when we start to walk in the righteousness. That's why Jesus said, be holy, like my Father in heaven, who's holy. And we go, he said, no, but be holy. Jesus doesn't mince word. That's why he can speak so straight to us. Why? We have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost lives inside of you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives bodily inside of us. Therefore, the same Spirit will give us what? Life, and life abundantly. The same life that Jesus has, it's the same life you have. When you speak life to people. That's why he said, you can't do it. I have put my Spirit inside of you. I've imputed inside of you. Now you can walk in holiness. Now Jesus can say, be holy for I am holy. Or be holy like my Father in heaven who is holy. It's not hard, my friends. Religion has destroyed our mindset and made it so hard. We think that we got to put on some kind of nice robe and a big collar and a big cross hanging down and that's holiness for us. No. That's just religion and pride. Bow to anybody. You bow to God. You don't bow to no pastor. You don't bow to no priest. You don't bow to nobody. You bow to Jesus, who is the King of Lords. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. The word himself says, heaven and earth, but my words will by no means pass away. The word of God is what? Principle. It is accompanied by certain consequences that comes with the word. Jesus said, there's the mountain of blessing, there's the mountain of curse. Now choose which mountain you're going to walk in. Hallelujah. If you have an accident, you broke a law. That's why you have an accident. Hello, somebody. Don't sit there and go, oh, the devil, the devil. Devil getting all the glory for your stupidity. Hallelujah. Your dream. Principle means what? The first. Prince means the first. That's why God's law is first. Other laws that come later on doesn't move God's law. God's law is first. I like what Brother Nick says. There's a framework of morality that God already placed in the universe. And we have to look at that. Abraham said, I need to walk in righteousness. God already placed that before us. It doesn't take moments for you to realize that you walk in sin. You can dream all you want, have big dreams, but when you break principalities, nothing works for you. I want you children and students in universities and high schools, listen to this message double. Open your ears both and listen to this. And mothers, you teach that to your children. And fathers, you teach it to your children. Why? Because you violate the principles that protect the dream and protects the potential that God has already given you. God will give you all the potential, everything that you need, but if you violate a principle, you destroy it yourself, not him. Hallelujah. We cannot blame God for anything. God is too good. God is too good. You cannot blame God for anything. You don't have any excuse under the sun to blame God. Everything that you do is your choice. You have the willpower to choose from right or wrong. He gave you the greatest gift, the will to choose. Everything else, from here to sin, you have the power. Just in case, I'm just going to give you the Holy Ghost. Oh, now you don't have any excuse under the sun when the Holy Spirit is in there. Because the conviction is so strong. Listen, I am preaching what I lived. I was like that. I was that person that's in that sermon right here today. I was that one before I became the pastor of this church. That's why I don't like titles and all these things that people talk about, because I know God didn't place me here for something. I'd rather than a pastor. More important than that. Hallelujah. Here's what God says. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 8. That's for you deeply religious people. And for you kingdom people, it's in the Constitution. It's section Galatians, subsection 6, article 7 to 8. That's for the kingdom people. All right? So I'm just talking to kingdom and religious people at the same time. And I want the religious people to come into the kingdom, understand the principles of the kingdom. Here's what God says. God says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. God says, you are not deceiving him. God is not deceived. See, God is not worried if you sin. He says, you don't need to deceive me. Why? Because God is not mocked. If you deceive yourself, he says, you're making a fool of yourself. You're not hurting God when you violate the principle of life. God is not upset. He never changes. He is always has been the same. He has a set face. He looks everywhere. He's got the set face. He's not worried about anything if you try to mock him or do things. I don't care what you say about grace or what you say about blood or what you say about the Calvary, all those deep religious statements that you want to make. If you violate God's principles, you will suffer the consequences, reap the consequences of what you've done. Because his law and principles is first. When we apply, stay on the principles of the Word of God, then you will walk that path and reap all the blessings that come. People say, oh, God is good. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And they are not walking in the path that God wants them to walk. I don't care if you have saved 3 times, baptized 5 times, sanctified 100 times, speak more tongues than everybody else. If you violate principle, you are going to suffer the consequences of it. Now, I think I shared this before. I use this. This is what the Word of God is to us. This guitar was made by. The manufacturer is not here to watch over this product. He's already given instructions by a manual that tells you that this is how you operate this instrument. And if you listen to your friends, like so many of you like to listen to your friends, God is old-fashioned and his word doesn't apply to us anymore and this is a new generation, hallelujah. Well, the manual doesn't change. In the clause of that manual, it says, do not operate near water. And you listen to your friends and you go, you know what, I'm just going to try playing this naked inside the bathtub. Sorry, I had to add the naked part in there. Because nobody gets in the bathtub with clothes on, all right? You can get your imagination out of the window. And you decided, I'm going to play this guitar in the bathtub. You are now violating a clause that God has placed inside. And you're sitting in there, and then a new principle takes place. It's called electrocution happens. And you get electrocuted inside the bathtub. You're not going to blame the creator of. And he's never there. He didn't tell you to go and sit in the tub. He gave you a manual. You and I have the Bible. That's our manual. It teaches us how to live life and apply principles in our life. And if you get electrocuted, don't blame that. Oh, the devil came in and really shocked me with this power. No. You're naked, sitting at the top, playing a guitar. That's against the manual of the manufacturer. Hallelujah. Is that simple enough for you to understand? Even a prep kid could understand this. That's what the Word of God is. Thank you, Jen. Hallelujah. I had to bring this up because that really, it talks about the Word of God. My friends, we laugh about these things, but the principle never changes. That's why I talk about principles all the time. Hallelujah. We can just sit there and blame God or blame the devil. God was never there. He already gave you a counselor called the Holy Ghost. You still violate the word of the counselor to go and leave it. And then when you reap the consequences, you start blaming somebody else. Hallelujah. You got to distinguish true obedience from just any kind of obedience. The only way to be obedient is to know the principles of the manufacturer. Everything else is an experiment. And your life was never given to you for an experiment. Hallelujah. My friends, this is really important for us. When we become people of principle, so we can't stop experimenting with things. Young people, stop experimenting with sex. Hello? Stop experimenting with drugs. Stop experimenting with all this other stuff that your friends are showing you. Where's my boys? I'm preaching to them right now. Hallelujah. Yeah? Abby, are you listening to this message? Good. Anybody else who's going to school? Yep. Listen to this message really, really carefully. Hallelujah. If your friends go and jump off a cliff, you're going to follow them? No? That's why I said to my sons, make up your mind. Be critical in your thinking. Have both sides of the perspective of what is given to you and then choose according to what God says. Don't choose according to what the world says. The world is ruled by liars. You cannot trust liars. You know this word, conspiracy theory? Let me tell you what that is. That is a smokescreen that the devil loves to use. And if you're a Christian, you should not use that word. You must not use that word, conspiracy theory. Because God's word is not conspiracy theory. Hallelujah. When you stand your ground on God's word, that is not a conspiracy theory. That is the truth. The enemy likes to use smoke screens upon our lives. He nullifies and makes looks really nice. That snake that came out probably looked like a pussycat. I don't know what the snake looked like when it came to speak to Eve. But it where's Jeanette? I won't say anything. Hallelujah. But he waters it down. Remember how you used to give medicine to your children? And you part it up with some ice cream and some biscuit and some things and then you give it to them? That's how the devil does things to us. Can you get that into your spirit this morning? Hallelujah. He puts cake and cream and everything over sin. Makes it look really good. And then you take it. Hallelujah. This is really important. So be obedient. You got to know the principles. We have been talking about principles in our leadership, integrity leadership, which we have to start very soon again. Those of you are new in the church and are coming to this church, you must sit under this integrity principle training because it's powerful. It changed all our lives. I am now because of the integrity principle that was brought to me. I thought I was just living a Christian life. Hallelujah. Until God says no. This is what this message is going to do this morning. Hallelujah. God's word is first. Everyone else that comes afterwards is just an idea. That is not the truth. That is not principle. It is something else. That is not principle. God's word is first. God's law is first. First function, first direction. So you cannot invent a new principle over this. You cannot change what God has already said. The Bible has outlived everybody. Everyone who tried to destroy the word of God, all gone. All the atheists that tried to explain the word of God, all gone. All the communists that tried to destroy the word of God, all gone. Bible's still here. Word of God's still here. That's why he says, my word will outlive anything that comes against it. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will last forever. That's why you and I promise. You and I can say, God, you said this. I'm coming before the courts of law today and I'm saying, God, that's my constitution of the kingdom that you said it and I will stand on it and I will continue to come with this word until I get what is rightfully mine. As a law-abiding citizen. Read my lips. A law-abiding citizen. Someone who walks in holiness and righteousness will receive something from God. That's why James said, you keep asking, you're not receiving because you're asking for the wrong reasons. Asking with wrong motives. Asking amiss on what God wants for us. Hallelujah. Anyone that comes to you and says, well, you see, the Bible is outdated and they are messing with God's first. The Bible was outlived everybody and it's still here today. You and I are so blessed to be able to still stand on His word today. Hallelujah. So you don't bring your own ideas about your own preconceived ideas about what the manufacturer has already said to us. Amen? Don't go play the guitar naked inside the bathtub. That's a picture of you. If you walk in disobedience to the word of God. Church, this is what I wanted to release this morning. Because I felt, as I was sharing with the team, that if we stand on this and the principles of the word of God and the blueprint that He's already given us, we will start to see the manifestation power that happened in the book of Acts. It's going to happen. And the only way it happens is in a place of prayer. We don't build anything up from anything else except the place of prayer. When we come to pray together, when we come and petition God together, say, God, you said it. We're going to stand on this. You have a problem, marriage problem, whatever problem, come here Come on Saturday and we'll pray with you. We'll petition God with you because he's already given you a counselor, a lawyer that will advocate for you. Hallelujah. Let's not bring religious thoughts into what God calls the kingdom. Because religion is the most dangerous thing, and it has destroyed a lot of people. And religion, a lot of people say, oh, Christians kill Jesus. No, religion. Religion hated him. Not the world. Religion hated him. He didn't come to start any religion. He came to plant his church. And his church is the only thing that represents the kingdom of heaven. You and I are the citizens of heaven. Hallelujah. We cannot blame God. God has already vindicated himself from this book. Why? He's given it to you, and he says, there's a clause in there, it says, if you do something, you sow something bad, then you will reap the consequences of it. That's a vindication that leaves God out of your problem. So we cannot blame him for anything. Amen? Hallelujah. I believe that as we continue to do this, we will start to see something really changing inside our church. I'm already seeing changes in people's lives. Not because of some amazing teaching or any, some things that you've never heard before. It's just us going back to the principles of the Word of God. Let me just close with this scripture. In Job 120, first Job 1:22 says, and he said, naked I came from my naked I shall return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job did not sin and not charge God with wrong. Many people would leave church because they're offended about something. Job even rebuked his own wife. He says, you speak, in Job chapter 2 verse 10 says, you speak as a foolish woman speaks. He told her, should we accept from God only the good and not adversity? In all this, Job did not sin what he said. Job was a man of principle. James chapter 1 verse 2 to 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. Fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is birth in you when you persevere through something. Deuteronomy chapter 11. God gave a powerful command to Israel. Verse 1 to 11. And it says, therefore, I'm closing with this, you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments. Know that I do not speak with your children. Hallelujah. I love this. He says, who have not known and who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God, his greatness and his mighty hand and his outstretched arm, his signs and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt, to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to all his land. God is saying, I'm talking to those of you who know me, not your children. You have seen the former glory. You have seen my hands. You have seen my judgments. I'm talking to you. This is what God is saying to us. Not your children. I'm speaking to you right now. He says, you have no excuse. You have seen my works, so now keep my commandments. Hallelujah. In other words, God is saying, I'm talking to people who have been in church for so long. Hello, somebody. I'm talking to a mature Christian. People who understand my word and my principles, my statutes. I am not talking to baby Christians anymore. I am talking to people who understand principles of the word of God. Verse 26. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Turn aside from the way which I have commanded you today to go after the gods which you have not known. Anything that is before God is an idol. And it becomes a god in your life. God says, I hate that. You know me, but you still go after that. Listen, praying hard, I'll close with this statement. Praying hard doesn't get prayer answered. Crying hard doesn't get anything to you unless you stand on the principle. Praying hard doesn't happen, gives you any blessing if you violate principle. Hallelujah. Is that straightforward enough for us? Believe in holiness and righteousness. Be a man and a woman of your word. Say something, then that's you. That's who God is. That's what righteousness and holiness is. Hallelujah. All the shouting and screaming doesn't get heard if we violate principle. Hallelujah. I'll tell you why. This is why. God says in Jeremiah 1:12, "You have heard correctly, said the Lord, for I am watching over my principles, His word, to accomplish everything that you've asked Him to." All God is asking for us this morning is walk. And then we will see prayers and then we'll see what the direction of the church we wanted to go start to happen when people truly. Hallelujah. Raise your hands, stand up before God. I'm going to pray and we're going to close. Hallelujah. God doesn't take anything away from you. We give it up. There's something in your life that you need to give it up. Give it up. Give it up before God and He will take it away from you. If you love it too much, He will not take it away from you. He respects your will. He respects your decisions. And He will not take anything away from you. Whether it's sin, if it's habits, things that you're doing in life that you don't want to do it, you hate it and you want to get rid of it, get rid of it. Really take it away from you. I'm going to pray. I believe there are people that are need to get rid of some things in their life that you may be holding that has been causing, has been an obstacle in your life. God is saying, get rid of it this morning. If we truly want our prayers heard, then we must stand in the principles of His word. Hallelujah. The principle of the city of Ai. God says, Joshua went out to fight and realized that God wasn't there. God says, I'm not going to fight for you if there's sin inside the camp. If there's anything that is inside the camp, I will not come near it. Go and get rid of it. God is serious about sin. He's serious about unrighteousness. He's serious about these things because He truly wants to see the church that Jesus planted become the church. Hallelujah. We must stop using grace as license to sin anymore. That has to stop. I'm telling you, I used to do these kind of things and nothing happens to me until I chose to give up all this stuff God, by standing on His word, and I started to see doors opening in my life that I have never, never, ever seen in my 20 years as a Christian. That's why we must always make sure that our hearts are clean before God. You come before God, come and say, God, I am one of your righteous. When you pray, prayers like, no weapon that forms against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you shall condemn. He says, God says, that is the heritage of the saints who are in my kingdom. And then He says, their righteousness comes from me. I am the one that gives them that. God doesn't keep righteousness out of our life. Righteousness is a key principle in the kingdom of God. You want to see things happening inside your life, start walking in that place. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands before God this morning. If you've got something to release to God this morning, I want you to release it this morning. Father God, Papa God, as Daniel prayed, Daniel didn't pray for himself. Daniel prayed for the nation. Hallelujah. And he said, we come before you this morning. Papa God, including me. We stand before you this morning, hallelujah, under and the anointing and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, that now those that are standing before you, coming here, God, I pray that whatever that has to be released, Lord, before your throne of grace today, I pray now that your their hearts, if there is unforgiveness, God, we lay it at the foot of the table. At the foot of the cross. If there is sin of any kind, Father, we lay it at the foot of the cross. If there's any unrighteous living, if there's any habits that need to be destroyed, Father, we give it up before you this morning. Hallelujah. We don't want to hold on to these things anymore because we want to see true power and manifestation of our prayers being answered because we know our rights. But we come to you knowing that we are also clean in our hearts. Our hands are clean and our hearts are pure. Father, I thank you for your people this morning. Thank you. We all stand before you this morning and we lay down at the foot of the cross everything that we may also take for granted in life. Father, we lay down right now and we ask you to forgive us. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I pray, Father God, that you remind us of any hidden sin, of anything, any rooms in our hearts and in our lives that you haven't yet, that we've yet kept away from you. Today, God, I pray that these doors are open, that you yourself will come and become the Lord of those areas in our life. Hallelujah. God, I thank you. Thank you for the anointing that is above, over this church, that you have started something in our lives through our righteousness and our holiness and our passion to obey you and walk in your precepts and your statutes, oh God. Father, as Daniel prayed for the people and the nation of Israel, God, I bring our church before you this morning. Be included inside this prayer. And I thank you, God, that whatever that is that needs to be gotten rid of right now, in the name of Jesus, it's done. Lord, we thank you. We stand on your word that you have given us the authority to uproot, destroy, to rebuild, and to replant. God, I destroy anything that is not of you in the lives of your people this day, in our children. Oh God, I thank you. Get rid of all this stuff so that we can become people that are transparent, people that walk in integrity and principle. Hallelujah. We want to see the manifestation. We want to see your face. We want to see what you did to the Book of Acts church happen again. Church, I thank you for each and every person here today. We give you praise and we give you honor and we give you glory. In Yeshua's mighty name, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.